You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN. Your home for K-State Athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
All right, so our GM, Matt Walters, is out of town. He's heading to Fort Worth, Texas to call three this weekend. K-State baseball at TCU. And what that means around here is when he's gone, I'm in charge.
Is that the
and so,
pump the brakes
and
there.
So I've made an executive decision is that we're going to end the Royals broadcast. We're going to the game.
Oh, you know, I don't know if I agree with all of that, but the decision you
it's
made,
true.
I definitely agree with the decision.
No, it's true. Check your guidebook.
It's there's the chain of command that's in there.
Yeah.
Troy, did you not read that page?
No.
It's in there, I promise.
Source, just trust me.
That's the fort right. Yeah. Is in charge, and welcome to the game. Mitch Fortner, Trey Coverdale, and Owen Burke. Very special show today because coming up in hour number two, kicking off hour number two, we are 60 minutes away from the video game draft. It is the first round of the NFL draft today, and like we do every year on the show, we celebrate in our own way and having our very own draft. It's a different theme every year. Last year was 90s movies. Wyatt won that draft. 2 years ago was fast food. I won that draft thanks to my first overall pick in Whataburger. But this time around, it's Owen Burke, which, by the way, he picked how many times we would randomize the order. And we did so. We do that every time. And he lucked out. We'll see if he lucked out. If that's the word we're going to use. Is that
know.
The phrase we're going to use?
I don't know if that's right.
If he lucked out, because Owen will have the first overall pick in the video games draft coming up at 5:10. And, of course, Troy, I'm sure you've been following along with social media today. Rumors are circulating like crazy. Multiple rumors on what game could be that number one overall pick. Let me get to some of these rumors that have been going around today. All Space right. Invaders.
Oh, okay.
Could be. Because, you know, Owen earlier today on Twitter did say that this overall number one pick will be a five-tool player. I was like, well, mm-hmm. Space Invaders. I did see that come up earlier. How about Lego Batman?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Have you ever played one of the Lego games?
Yes. The Lego Star Wars games are some of my favorite growing up.
I never have, but I have seen the Lego Batman movie. Because at the time I was dating a gal that really liked Batman, and that movie was coming out. You know what? It was actually pretty good.
It was, I didn't see the second version yet. I saw the initial. Did not see the sequel. So
many rumors going around. Let's get to one more. This could be the number one overall pick later on today. How about Guitar Hero 3, Legends of Rock?
That is a great pick. You know, I was trying to do some research, and I think there was a website I saw ranked Guitar Hero 3 as the fourth best Guitar Hero, but that's the number one Guitar Hero on my big board. So you're just going to have to stick around and see if that's the number one overall pick. It's definitely very highly rated on my board, though.
It will not just be Owen picking. It will not just be me. It will not just be Troy. We have two special guests coming on at 5:10. Curry Sexton from Wildcat NIL will be joining us, and Scott Wildcat from Bosco's Boys will be joining us as well to pick some video games. Everybody gets four picks, and we'll be putting those teams up on social media later today to see who drafted the best video game team. It is the NFL draft kicking off today. Very heavy, obviously, you can imagine. Very heavy NFL draft show.
I'm so excited.
Including coming up in our next segment, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, former beat writer for the Kansas Jayhawks, now a beat writer for the Kansas City Chiefs. He'll be joining us here in a few moments to talk about Kansas City, first overall pick, or I should say the first round pick, 32nd overall, what they could possibly do. Also, I got to ask the question, is this the time that the Chiefs draft a tight end? And could that tight end be Ben Sinnott? It's every year, guys. It's every year. It's every year. And this probably can go for every college football fan that also likes pro football. There's always a guy on your team that could somehow end up on your favorite team, on your favorite NFL team.
Yeah.
That did happen for K-State this past year. If you're a K-State / Chiefs fan with Felix Anudike Uzomah, that also worked out for us K-State / Dallas Cowboys fans when # my boy, like I predicted that day, or like 2 days prior, Deuce Vaughn became a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah, I was pretty happy when Arthur Brown became a Raven way back when. So I was, you know, I thought that was it's a great pick at the time. It's a lovely thing when those things can line up.
He was all right.
Yeah, you know,
never really exactly panned out the way you dream of it.
No, because I dreamed of him being the next Ray Lewis, and that obviously didn't happen. But that was high expectations on the second rounder from K-State.
Yeah, I am digging through some of the odds right now, and I'm chuckling. Yeah, first wide receiver drafted. The odds on it being Marvin Harrison Jr. are why even bet it type money at this point. I mean,
I think it's no doubt.
Minus 2,000 odds.
It should be no doubt. It should be.
That's just funny.
So what that means, minus 2,000, is you have to bet $2,000 to win $100.
Right.
For those that don't know how that works.
Similarly,
so not worth it.
Similarly, Jaden McDaniels as number two to the Commanders. Jaden Daniels, number two to the Commanders.
The Heisman Trophy winner, Troy.
Sorry, is now at minus 1,000. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's the projection.
Yeah. Well, Kayla Williams is going to go first overall. I would imagine
But this is the movement for that second pick. It is that everybody's now putting money on it being Jaden Daniels.
Let's put a pin in that. We'll talk about it later in this first hour because this first round of the draft could be a very... I think historic. I think historic is a good way to put it.
100% agree.
With the quarterbacks, Owen was telling us in the office before the show that he thinks that we could have the most trades.
Yeah,
2022
there were 9 trades made on draft night, and we might see a lot tonight. A lot of people moving up, a lot of people moving down.
Let's look at this from a K-State's perspective to lead off. Last year, I mentioned it was a very special year for K-State in the NFL draft, especially with it being in Kansas City, and a local guy got drafted.
With the 31st pick of the 2023 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Felix Anudike Uzomah, defensive end, Kansas State.
And shout out to Clark. Pretty much nailed it on the pronunciation. I probably pronounced his name a couple of different ways as the public address announcer and very confidently feeling that I had it absolutely right. Until it was before the last game, his final season, and I asked him, like, hey, am I saying your name right? Felix Anudike Uzomah. He said it's Felix Anudike Uzomah. I about just threw my papers down on the floor and quit.
Yeah, thank you now. Appreciate that. Get it right on senior night, I guess.
Well, it was an appropriate time because, you know, he was on his way out anyway. I don't remember if he – that was last year. What a very fun draft that was because Felix goes to his hometown team. Julius Brents, who had a not too bad rookie year with the Colts.
Pretty solid, yeah.
Goes to his hometown team. Josh Hayes, who grew up just outside of Tampa Bay, goes to the Buccaneers.
Right.
And the tearjerker of the draft last year, dad calling up Deuce.
Was tremendous.
You want to come to work with me tomorrow? Deuce says, absolutely, I do.
That's sick.
Everybody's crying.
I hope he gets some touches this year. He should.
Cowboys need a running back. They're going to draft a running back.
They probably are, but I mean,
unless you have a different plan. But
you always need two, and I hope Deuce is the second one.
Well, Dallas needs linemen.
Yeah, that better be pick 24.
Like every year.
Yeah, better be pick 24.
I think Kansas City might go a lineman with their first pick, Donovan Smith, not with the team anymore, so they need a left tackle. Mm-hmm. Very tackle-heavy draft, by the way. There's a lot of talent out there. With guards, not as much. We'll start with Cooper Beaulieu. Let's break it down this way about Cooper. 6'3", over 300, the greatest K-State offensive lineman ever. Mm-hmm. He is a multi-time All-American. He will be on the Ring of Honor at some point. This is a Hall of Fame year. We're heading into a Hall of Fame induction year. So the Ring of Honor won't be, I don't know when that will be next. But Cooper Beaulieu is first bout along with Deuce Vaughn to be in that next class. Cooper Beaulieu went to KC Piper High School. Is not a first rounder anymore. He was, I would say, at the beginning of this past year. I don't know exactly what happened, but he is right now graded to be at the best an early second round guy. The most consistent projection I've seen is late second round. Late second round. I've seen 10 different teams. Really, the mock draft. It's so hard to predict. Once you get out of the first 10 picks of an NFL draft, it's super hard to predict.
Yeah, and I think this year is the most unpredictable I've seen because there's so much good talent at the same three or four positions. It's just going to be whatever what team has who graded at.
Maybe I can give you a little piece of why maybe Cooper Beaulieu could be a late second round guy. Maybe something kind of plays into it a little bit here. He is listed by ESPN as the third best guard available in the draft, but this isn't a very – when it comes to teams in their biggest need, as in what they might pick with their first couple of picks, first, second round, are not – there's not very many teams looking for guards.
Mm. No, it's not a valued position anymore. Same thing as safeties, middle linebackers. You see tons of edge rushers, tons of tackles – not a lot of not a lot of guards, not a lot of middle linebackers.
But Cooper Beaulieu is, I think there's no doubt he will be a day two guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Going to be a day two guy. Ben Sinnott is a pretty interesting one as well because Ben Sinnott is really projected in the same area.
Yeah.
Late second into the third round tight end as being the fourth best tight end in the draft. He is listed at 93rd overall by ESPN. And I love his story. Just to quickly recap how he even got to this spot where did not grow up playing football. He was going to go play at the FCS level. Comes to K-State after finally getting some notice from K-State or at least from a Power 5 or even a Group of 5. Anybody in that area. K-State gave him some notice. Iowa kid. Chris Kleiman is from Iowa. He likes those Iowa kids. Comes to K-State. And I've said this before where Chris Kleiman has brought sexy back to the tight end position at K-State. We went too long, and when I say too long, 7-8 seasons without a truly, like, pass-catching, consistent tight end. Zach Trujillo, for a while, was the last one. Couple of came around, obviously, through the portal, through transfers. Riley Moore, Daniel Amaterbebe. Ben Sinnott took it to an extremely next level, where this past season, I feel like my prediction came true. He had a Mount Rushmore season for a K-State tight end. I think there's no doubt about that. Setting records. He did. But when he first started playing, like his first true productive year, he was blocking.
Right.
The ball was never going in his direction. Mm-hmm. Chris Kleiman then got that going a couple of years ago. Should say not just Chris Kleiman, but Colin Klein, Ryan Lepak. And then I really remember this quote. I'm not going to get the exact quote here, but it was mentioned by Chris Kleiman that they feel like they're just getting started in developing the offense. and they can really make a pivot in the production of the offense in the 2023 season. Coming off the Big 12 championship year, Ben Sinnott caught a touchdown in that Big 12 championship. Mm-hmm. We saw what he could do as a pass catcher. The way the offense evolved, I thought, would definitely gravitate around Ben Sinnott and getting back to using the tight end a lot more as a heavy pass catcher. And they absolutely did that. He's a big guy. He has worked so hard to get here. Ben Sinnott, I think, as well, is a day two guy, maybe at the worst, fourth round. It's a bit of a tougher one to predict, but that's how I feel. Late second to fourth round.
Yeah, that's why I think this draft is so difficult, because I've seen BB in the early second. I've seen him in the late third. I've seen Sinnott go before BB in some drafts, and then I've seen him available in the fourth. So it is all over the place. The thing that I love, the new metric I'm in love with right now, is the RAS score system. So it takes all of their athletic combine. Do you know that Ben Sinnott scored a 4.5 and Cooper BB was a 9.5 and a 9.3 on the RAS score, respectively. So two freak athletes from the Wildcats in this year's draft.
I was looking at a draft profile for Cooper Beebe. He did not have very many weaknesses, but the top weakness is that he has short arms.
Yeah, it's hard to keep those guys at bay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we know Cooper Beebe can play guard. He can play tackle. He'll go to the NFL and play guard. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty clear assessment on what he'll play at the next level. It's just funny how they really critique strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
In when they say he has short arms, compared to a guy who has the right size of arms or long arms is maybe, you know, fractions of an inch.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it's the joke every year, but it's a great example of what we're talking about, and that is quarterback hands. They joke about hand size. Yeah. And what a number that does every year.
So I feel at the most, I think at the most, K-State could get five guys drafted. Khalid Duke is top 30 edge rushers. He, I think, would be a seventh round guy if he does get picked. As a matter of fact, I think if anybody else from K-State got picked outside of Ben Sinnott, Cooper Beebe, you're looking at the seventh round. And then the other two would be KT Leviston, we're going two linemen here, and Hayden Gillum. They would be the other two that would be picked. But I feel pretty good about a third guy getting drafted, and Khalid Duke might be in the lead for that. If that were to happen, K-State would have it'd be the 21st time in program history at least three players were drafted in one, were picked up in one draft.
Very cool.
21 times. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll go from the Cats to the Chiefs. As we speak with a former Jayhawk beat writer, we used to do a segment called Where in the World is Baylor in Newell's Ballot? We're not talking basketball. We're not talking college sports. We kind of are. But we're talking Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL draft, which starts tonight, 7 o'clock, with the first round. And we'll talk with Jesse Newell and get his thoughts about the Chiefs when we come back on the game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, so Owen told me before the show he wanted to do is wrestling history today, and I don't recognize this theme, so this...
I'm hoping I got the right one. This is supposed to be like the old classic surfer Sting. That's what this was. Probably back in like 88, I think, was the year I tried to pick from.
Oh. So would this be a Clash of the Champions history?
I don't believe it is. Let me get my sheet pulled back up here.
So all right, what do you got?
So, on this date in 1988, Sting and Lex Luger defeated Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson in the final Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup Tag Team Tournament. We're really pulling at straws today, but it wasn't much on the week, but I was like, hey, Surfer Sting. Hey,
I would have paid to see that match.
Yeah, those are four legends right there. You know, well, three at least. I don't know how you feel about Lex Luger.
Well, the Lex total Luger the legend? Total package.
Yeah.
The Narcissist.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Lex Luger. He obviously, you know, back in the day, he had an issue with substance abuse, and that actually led to the. So Randy Savage was married to Miss Elizabeth, her real name I believe was Elizabeth, and then they got divorced, and she married Lex Luger, and she overdosed while they were on a bender.
I did not know that
at
all.
Yeah, wow. That was a very sad day. I think he was going to be charged, or maybe he was charged with something, and. Didn't end up getting in too much trouble about it, but man, that he turned his life around after that happened. He found Jesus, and
wow.
And then he had an issue with his spinal cord. He was paralyzed.
Yeah, it's like he's in a wheelchair now.
It's been a real up and down life for the total package. But man, could that guy celebrate a title win?
That's true.
All right. Hey, there's some more, as Owen has the first overall pick in our video game draft coming up at 5:10, more of those rumors are swirling around. These are more just of what I've heard. World of Warcraft.
It's a solid game. You know, it is had a very high player base.
Never played it, but I've known some folks that could play it weeks on end.
Yeah, I was like days was
countless.
Weeks
hours.
Is probably better. Yeah. If there's ever been a story about someone quitting their job because they love playing a game too much, it should probably end up somewhere in this draft. And I know I read a couple about World of Warcraft.
Who brought up that they had a Wii? Was that AJ? Was that
I
you,
brought
Troy?
It up. Yes, yeah.
How about Wii Party?
Wii Party. You know,
has come up.
I was expecting Wii Sports there. To me, that's a bigger hitter.
Yeah.
That's a bigger hitter. Wii Party, maybe a second, third round guy. Wii Sports, I think, might be a first round pick. We're going to have to see.
One more here. The Simpsons Hit and Run.
Ah, oh, great game. Great games.
I got bored of it so fast.
It wasn't Hit and Run. Was it Road Rage? Is that what the other one? Yeah.
Yes.
That one has a very special place in my heart. When my mom was born, she has a deformed hand, so she only has like full use of one hand. It's the only video game I've ever been able to play with my mom because she could play with one hand and she actually really enjoyed it. So that one has a very special place in my heart. I do love Simpsons Road Rage.
There was Once Upon a Time, I think it was on NES. I can't remember if it was on NES or Sega. But back in the day, early 90s, there was a game called Simpsons Wrestling. It was awful. I never played it as a little kid, but I remember playing it as like a teenager or a young adult. God, it was bad.
Oh, boy.
It was real bad. All right, let's continue on with our conversation about the NFL draft. We switch from the Cats to the Chiefs, and we're pleased to be joined by the beat writer for the Kansas City Chiefs from the Kansas City Star. He's a former beat writer for the Kansas Jayhawks. In Jesse Newell. Jesse, I really appreciate your time. Before we get to draft talk, boy, I just got to know what your relationship like is with Taylor Swift. I'm sure you've seen her a whole bunch around Arrowhead Stadium. What's the relationship like?
That seems like the first question all the time. You know, not many. It's weird. Like, I actually have not seen her live in person through all these games. And even there's been times I got to binoculars at, like trying to find her, figure she's going to be out there somewhere. One of the games, after one of them, our Blair Kirkhoff and Bobby Gregorian from the Star was funny. They got on the field and both took a picture of Taylor Swift and both had each other in the background. all of us have turned into mini paparazzi here, but I've actually never seen her. The joke, though, I do make is that Taylor Swift has been on the Jesse Newell tour here. You know, everybody else goes on the Taylor Swift tour. She follows me around. So that's something I definitely say to people.
Well, your tour is super exciting now that you moved on from the Jayhawks and now you're with the Chiefs, because Kansas City, despite having their worst team with Patrick Mahomes, they still win a Super Bowl. As a member of the media, what is it like? Like, how well are you taken care of when it comes to covering Super Bowls? Does the NFL do a solid job of that?
Yeah, they actually do. There's 2 days, actually, that's the best access of the year, where they bring everyone out. for about an hour. All the coaches, all the assistant coaches, all the players. You know, the only thing that'd be better is it's hard, tough to get rooms that are that big where you can just have guys that can spread out. You know, normally everybody's kind of cramped two to a mini table to be able to talk to you if you want to get them for interviews. But no, it's really great. The cover of the Super Bowl is just a whole different beast. And yeah, coming from college basketball, it is crazy. You know, the Final Four is a really big deal in the United States. The Super Bowl is a really big deal everywhere. You know what I mean? And it's not crazy in that week to have radio requests from Germany, Canada, you know, Australia, New Zealand, that sort of thing. So it really is a different sort of thing when that sort of game comes up and the media coverage comes from that particular game, those particular teams. So yeah, it's a crazy event to be a part of, but they do take care of us, and it is great access for that week, and it's the reason we go down there early and are able to write as many stories as we do.
Well, Jesse, the reason we have you on today is to talk about the draft, and Kansas City has 7 picks. Let's first start with the offseason drama with Rashee Rice. He's in the he's in that car accident in Dallas. He's being sued. He has 8 charges hanging over his head, a couple of felony charges. Adam Schefter came out with some news that wasn't really too surprising. That is that he'll probably face at least a multiple game suspension. But for the Chiefs, how does this impact, in your opinion, their plans for the draft this year?
It's a good question. We actually talked to Brett Veach last week, and my first question for him was, how does Rashee Rice impact your draft this year? And he actually said, you know, not that much. And it makes some sense if you think about kind of how the Chiefs operate, which is they like to kind of do things a year in advance. They look for their holes a year from now, and they try to draft those guys so you can get them into your system. You can have them get comfortable, and then when guys leave in free agency, those guys are ready to kind of naturally step in. We see lots of examples, but a guy like Brian Cook, you know, he was drafted when Juan Thornhill was on the last year of his deal, kind of naturally steps into the starting role right after that. But, you know, you kind of go up and down the line with the Chiefs roster. They like to do that sort of thing. The Chiefs needed a receiver anyway. We all know that. They needed that before the Rashee Rice situation happened. But as Brett Veach talked, he basically, you know, told me, just said, look, this team has enough needs that I just don't think you completely forfeit the rest of what you're doing to just plug this one hole, because they need an offensive tackle. And for him, you know, they need either a guard or a center for some backup since McAlec Reddy left. And they'd like to get a cornerback because they just traded L'Jarius Sneed, and they've had a nice pipeline go there, but you'd like to have a little bit more depth. And so, again, the way he answered the question to me was it doesn't impact them that much. We all know they needed a receiver anyway. They're going to draft one in an early round here anyway, unless something goes awry. But I'm not sure it impacts them as much as many people think, just because the Chiefs try to operate in a very steady manner, and they try to not let things like this dictate too much what they want to do with their long-term plan. And they've hit on so many draft picks and so many drafts in the last few years under Brett Veach. I wouldn't be one to question them at this point. So I think their long-term plan has sort of panned out so far, and we'll see if that pays off again this time. If they kind of take the measured road here and are able to get some good value like they have in past drafts.
Jesse Newell, Kansas City Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, is our guest on the game. Kansas City once again has the 32nd pick in the first round. And Kansas City, like you said, you expect them to go wide receiver early. Well, the last couple of years they have gone early, going after a wide receiver. A couple of years ago it was Sky Moore. Everybody has their own opinion about Sky Moore. Rashee Rice had a really solid rookie year as being the top guy at wide receiver, and as a pass catcher, just second to Travis Kelce. If you're Brett Veach, do you expect Kansas City, or would you go wide receiver with how much talent of wide receiver there is in this draft with that 32nd pick?
Yeah, so I think this falls well for the Chiefs in terms of where the depth of the draft is. This is a really good draft for offensive tackles, and it's a really good draft for wide receivers. So I think how the Chiefs look at this is they want to take what falls to them. They're not going to reach, you know what I mean? And so those two positions being deep, I think they're 32nd. They are a little bit going to have to wait for the board and see what falls to them and see what happens around them. Now, I thought what was interesting from us talking to Veach, and to be completely honest with you, Veach is pretty telling in these pre-draft press conferences. Like, he probably reveals more than maybe people around him want him to, but he seems to be usually pretty honest. He talked about how he really likes the first-round talent, the upper talent of the offensive tackles, but he feels like it kind of falls off a little bit right after that first round. And he said, as far as the receivers go, he really likes the top 50 as far as the receivers go. So if I was to give a lean here on what I think the Chiefs will do, again, if things fall their way, if eight offensive tackles are immediately taken off the board, then things go awry, and they probably take a receiver. I think how Brett Veach would prefer, and again, they do their own mock draft, I think he'd prefer to get an offensive tackle in the first round, solidify that spot, have some good competition for Wanya Morris, potentially have your left tackle of future, and protect Patrick Mahomes, and then come back in the second round and still have that depth and receiver to choose from. And again, we know that the Chiefs are comfortable taking receivers in the second round because they've done it each of the last 2 years. It seemed to be something they've done. Even if you go back to Mecole Hardman, he was a second round pick as well. He also said that they would not be scared to trade up, make a small move up if they needed to as well. And he's been aggressive in the past to do that sort of thing too. So again, you see how the board plays out, but I actually would say, based on listening to Brett Veach and hearing him the other day, he liked the depth of the very top of tackles, and he still liked the top 50 receivers. Hearing that, I think if all things go to plan for the Chiefs, they get a tackle early. Maybe it takes a small trade-up to get that, but then they'll come back in the second round and get their receiver. Again, that's if other teams go as planned. It might not happen that way, and that's why the Chiefs have been good, is that they have these contingency plans and things, and just in case things go awry. And if things do go awry, you could definitely see receiver. But right now, I'd give a lean to offensive line. I know that's not the consensus pick out there, and even DraftKings would not have that as the favorite pick for the Chiefs right now. But just based off of Brett Veach, I think that's the way they would like to go if things just fall in their direction.
And I know, you know, trying to predict the draft is one of the hardest things to do. So I'll phrase it this way. If we stick with the wide receiver part of the conversation, that is there anybody in this early, like say top 10 wide receivers that could potentially fall to Kansas City? Is there anybody in particular that catches your eye that you think would be the right fit for Kansas City?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, I think they sort of have a type, which is interesting if you look in the past, where they love speed. Actually, an article a couple weeks ago about kind of the things that they like in the receiver, and they like guys that have good 10-yard splits in their 40-yard dash. You know, they like that speed. And losing Marquez Valdes-Scantling, at least at this point, I know he's still a free agent, so technically he could still sign with the Chiefs. They still need a deep threat, a guy that even if he doesn't catch the ball down the field, he's able to open up zones underneath and intermediate for guys like Travis Kelce or Rashee Rice. And sometimes you just need to do something like basketball where you have a corner shooter, a corner three-point shooter. You know, he might not make a bunch of shots, but he's going to have his defender come close to him because you can't leave him open. That's sort of what the deep threat does for the Chiefs. And I know they got Hollywood Brown free agency, but again, we're talking about fixing things a year in advance. And Hollywood Brown's on a one-year deal. Most likely, if things go the way the Chiefs want them to go, he's not going to be back next year because he's going to be signing with some other team for more dollars. So you sort of need to fill that position. And so, you know, you see some guys in there. That's why I'm sure the Xavier Worthies of the world from Texas, who set the 40 record, but also had a really good 10-yard split. He could be a guy that they would be looking at. A.D. Mitchell from Texas as well is a guy that maybe a little bit more versatile receiver than Worthy is, but also a guy that can burn down the field. And then there's guys at the top that we wouldn't expect to fall that far, but maybe the Chiefs would make a move up for, you know, a Brian Thomas Jr. is a guy that, you know, is supposed to go above the Chiefs, but maybe if he started a little bit of a slide, they would go up and get him. Something else interesting to watch, a couple years ago, the Chiefs had all that draft capital after they traded Tyreek Hill away. And you remember, they traded up in the first round and got Trent McDuffie. They traded up right ahead of the Buffalo Bills. Very interesting in this draft. The Chiefs are 32. But if you look at 22 through 27, it's all NFC teams, okay? And usually the Chiefs are a little bit more able to better trade with NFC teams than AFC teams because, like, the Ravens don't want to help the Chiefs out anymore, or the Bengals, or they just raise their price where normally, you know, probably not going to be able to make a deal. But 22 through 27 are all NFC teams. 28 is the Buffalo Bills. And we know the Buffalo Bills, just right away, Stephon Diggs, probably need a receiver. So that will be an interesting kind of meta game to watch there too, because if there's a receiver that starts to fall into those early to mid 20s, the Chiefs might be even more motivated to go up because not only would they be getting the receiver they like, they also could potentially be keeping him from the Buffalo Bills, who we know need a receiver very early in this upcoming draft.
Jesse Newell, Kansas City Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, is our guest on the game. Last question about the Chiefs draft, and it's every year, of course, and I'm sure everybody's college team has a potential player that could go to their favorite pro team as a draft pick. And for K-State, I mean, that came true actually last year with Felix Anudike Uzama. Kind of two questions in one here. The Chiefs have only drafted one tight end in the last 8 years. That was Noah Gray a couple of years ago. And, you know, it is a question. You know, how much longer does Travis Kelce have, right? He's in love with the biggest star in the world, and, you know, he's about to turn 35. So your thoughts on Kansas City potentially drafting a tight end, and could that tight end be Bennett Sinnott?
Yeah, no, two good questions. So for one, the trivia question, or the thing that always impressed your friends, is Travis Kelce is actually 5 months younger than Rob Gronkowski, if you want to put that into perspective. Huh. Rob Gronkowski had a Hall of Fame career, retired, came back, had a couple of productive years, won the Super Bowl, and now is retired again. And oh, by the way, Travis Kelce is still, you know, among the top tight ends in the NFL, still humming along. So, yes, at some point the Chiefs have to look at that position. Here's the question, though, and this is always kind of a big-picture question. Is it more likely the Chiefs stumble onto another Hall of Fame tight end, or is it more likely that the Chiefs get a receiver who takes up the production that Travis Kelce does and does that from the wide receiver spot like so many other teams are built in the NFL? That's another question. You know, maybe you could continue to draft receivers and hope that you land on one of those rather than getting another tight end that's a Hall of Fame, even though the Chiefs, we know they're good at it, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce. So, yeah, at some point, the only caveat I would say here is that when we talked to Brett Veach, he did not mention tight end as a big area of need. They signed Irv Smith Jr. earlier this offseason. They obviously like Noah Gray. So I think they could use a fourth receiver and, again, a developmental project. So I actually, I mocked into the Chiefs in the fourth round of my latest mock draft, the one I did a week ago, because I love his explosiveness. And Kevin Cole, he's the guy who used to work for Pro Football Focus. He talks about the two areas that really predict what tight ends are successful in the NFL. And there's an upper quadrant of those guys, that's like Sam Laporta, George Kittle. And in that quadrant is Ben Sennett. I mean, like, he is the type of guy that has had success as an NFL tight end before, having those characteristics. So I'm with you. I think the Chiefs should definitely look at that. And if you're trying to replace Kelce, one developmental project, I think that would be a great fit for them. But like I said, the caveat I would say is that Brett Veach did not mention that as a very high priority. I was a little bit surprised that he didn't mention it as a high priority, but maybe there's a little bit of gamesmanship here. Maybe they're not trying to release their hand here or show everybody their cards around them. But I'm with you. If there's going to be a fit for the Chiefs and potentially one that's going to be sort of a guy that you can develop into that sort of role, I would love to see the Chiefs take the K-State kid and see what he can do.
Well, Jesse, I really appreciate your work, appreciate your time, and looking forward to your draft coverage. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Really good stuff from Jesse Newell, getting you a little bit of a preview of what Kansas City could possibly do in this NFL draft, especially with the first round. I think it would be exciting if they go wide receiver, not trade up, go wide receiver, that 32nd pick, because I think there's going to be some really solid guys there. I agree with Jesse about Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy could fall to Kansas City without trading up. Both would be really solid picks. They might also go the not-so-exciting route and go linemen, just like I think the Cowboys will go in the first round. It's not exciting, but it's needed.
Necessary, yeah.
I do love the fact that he had the Rob Gronkowski versus Travis Kelce comparison right there at his fingertips ready for you.
Yeah, that was impressive. I didn't know that they were that close in age.
Yeah, the age is not as lopsided as the Super Bowl victories.
But true.
I think Rob has 5?
I would assume
and
so.
Travis
yeah.
would have 3?
Yeah.
Travis would
have 3. Yeah. So it's not even lopsided.
Soon to be.
Well,
4.
No, actually, I think it's 6 because he was with Tom and.
Oh, that's true.
Because I know them
Tampa.
All on a first name basis. And yeah, in Tampa. I don't know. Maybe Owen can find that out.
Yeah. You're getting ready to host the roast for Tom, right?
Me?
Yes, you.
A roast for Tom Brady?
You hadn't heard?
Oh, is there going to be a roast?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
They're putting one together, yeah.
Gronk's a 4-time Super Bowl champ, so it is.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, they're neck and neck at this point almost.
Oh, okay, so it's not as lopsided. Do we know who's on the dais?
I
love a good roast.
Yeah, you know, I haven't dug into it to know for sure. I just know that it was heard it in passing that they're putting it together right now.
Pork roast, Comedy Central roast, I'm all in. They haven't done the Comedy Central roast in a while. I think they haven't done one since the pandemic.
Apparently it's going to be on Netflix.
And we've gotten a lot softer with our, you know, what we accept as stand-up comedy.
Yeah, well.
It is a tad bit annoying, but anyway.
Kevin Hart and comedian Jeff Ross will host.
Well, you got to have Jeff Ross.
Yeah, I mean, is it a roast if Jeff Ross isn't there? I don't think it is.
And honestly, Kevin's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. That's going to be a good one.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll finish up the hour when we come back and just take a look at the first round as a whole, because I think Owen agrees with me. Some history, some pretty fun history could be made tonight. That's next.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, let's just get to it right now. NFL Draft Round 1 tonight. We'll, of course, here on the show in a few moments have our video game draft. We'll be joined by Curry Sexton and Scott Wildcat. Curry, former player for the Cats, of course, and leads Wildcat NIL. And then Scott Wildcat from Bosco's Boys. Owen, I think 6 quarterbacks will be drafted in the first round. What do you think?
That is a bold prediction. I think we have a surefire 5.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I'm curious. I think it's very possible to see Nick slip into the first. I really like the Rams as a fit for Bo Nix if they don't get aggressive to go up to get a quarterback. Solid offense, great offensive-minded head coach. He took Jared Goff to a Super Bowl. He won one with Stafford. To me, McVay can win with Bo Nix, so I think that, to me, is the best fit if he were to go. But somebody's going to miss out on a quarterback, and somebody's going to get itchy and make the Lamar move and come back in at 31 or 32 to take a quarterback to ensure that fifth-year option down the road to make it a little bit cheaper.
A lot of the smoke that I have heard regarding the Broncos is an interest in Nix.
I really hope you guys get Penix, but that's where I'm at.
I would take Penix over Nix. I would take both of them over J.J. McCarthy.
Interesting.
And yeah. J.J. is kind of like in that 4 spot because you're going to probably go Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang. Mm-hmm. Those are probably your first 3 picks, depending on what the Patriots do with that 3rd pick. I know that's a trade favorite.
One of the mocks that we talked about last week had 4 of the 5 picks as quarterbacks. 4 of the first 5, and the one that wasn't was Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, Marvin to the Cardinals, and then the Chargers trade out for the Vikings to come get J.J. McCarthy.
I mean, as a fan of a team that's in the NFC East, you have 2 teams pretty early that'll most likely pick a quarterback. The Commanders are going to pick her. I think they have the 2nd pick, which could very well be Jaden Daniels. And then you have the Giants, who will be potentially picking quite early.
Yeah. Meanwhile, your team sits on the clock with a lame duck contract in place for a quarterback.
You didn't have to bring that up.
Yeah, sorry. There's no need for
that. I don't think that's draft talk, Troy. This is a draft segment.
I'm pointing out that, you know, with a little thinking, they probably should be drafting one.
The noise from Cowboys Nation is getting a little bit louder of drafting a quarterback in this class. But if you're not going top 6 of these quarterbacks,
no.
I'm not interested in going any further than that.
The noise from Cowboys Nation is, what the heck are you doing?
What do you mean we didn't re-sign anybody? Yeah, that's neither here nor there.
I'm still a fan of Dak Prescott, don't get me wrong.
I think Dak can win. I think if you put Dak in a Los Angeles Rams jersey next year, I think they have a pretty decent shot at it. But
it's not a talent issue, it's a leadership issue.
Yeah. We're on the same page here. I think we might see a record number of trades tonight. I think the record is 9 in 2022, and I think there's a lot of talent in like the top 40. So I think if like the Commanders or somebody that has 2 early second round picks were to come back up for pick 30, 31, or 32, I think that's a great move, especially like KC. If they can move back to what I think it's 34 and then 39, you take a receiver tackle right there back to back that early in the second, that's a very beneficial move in my opinion.
Well, for the quarterbacks, there's a clear cut of top 6 and then you go to the 7th because it goes from Michael Penix Jr. to Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, that's a large jump there.
But the record for most quarterbacks in the first round, 6. I think they could tie it tonight. Video game draft is next.